Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2025 with a release date of Friday, August 19th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC prepares to study the radio spectrum's noise floor. Radio Caroline returns triumphantly as a special event station in the UK. Australian hams celebrate innovation. These stories and an extended special report on amateur response to Louisiana's flooding crisis, now in Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2025.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
We open this week's newscast with a special expanded report, an in-depth look at what's being called the worst natural disaster in the U.S. since Superstorm Sandy, Louisiana's floods. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has been following that story closely.
The National Weather Service is now calling it the 1,000-year rain.
At this time, according to reports from Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, 30,000 people and 1,000 pets have already been rescued. 40,000 people have registered with FEMA for disaster assistance, and at least 11 people have died in the floods thus far.
That's Alabama meteorologist Bobby Best, WX4ALA. Amateur radio volunteers are springing into action in the wake of flooding of historic proportions that inundated parts of Louisiana and Mississippi the weekend of August 13th and 14th.
Louisiana Ares was requested to be activated by the Louisiana Office of the American Red Cross. There are shelters set up across the region. There are at least, as of last word, 40 additional shelters that are needing communications to be connected. Everything is being run out of headquarters at the Red Cross office in Baton Rouge. That, according to Louisiana Ares Assistant Section Emergency Coordinator John Mark Robertson, K5JMR.
Louisiana Ares Section Emergency Coordinator Adam Tamplin, KD5LEH, tells Amateur Radio Newsline how many residents displaced by the floodwaters are in the shelters.
The latest number I heard was between 12 and 13,000 in shelters, that may be off by 1 or 2,000. Flooding is still affecting some newer areas as conditions change, with some of the backwater flooding coming down in the river basin.
Tamplin outlines the initial response by ham operators in the Bayou State and surrounding region.
Well, we activated the Louisiana section late Sunday evening, and unfortunately the response hasn't been nearly what we were hoping for. Right now we actively have around 15 or so hams at various shelters. Some are affiliated with Ares, some are not, and they're handling tactical communications between the shelters and the Red Cross headquarters in Baton Rouge. Texas and Mississippi, they called to offer their support to us. We also had Alabama that called to offer their support to us, and we are coordinating with those sections to see if we can get some help from them or not.
And what is the current state of communications in the affected areas?
Most normal modes of communication are still up. Our statewide interoperability network is still running. Most telephone services are still running. We are having some issues with some of the cell phone carriers right now, although those issues are improving.
Tamplin says in addition to localized repeater and simplex frequencies in Louisiana, two HF frequencies may be utilized for urgent amateur radio traffic related to this disaster.
Right now we designated 7255 and 3873 as emergency frequencies. Of course, we don't necessarily declare emergencies like we used to. But if you do hear some traffic that's Aries related on those frequencies, we do ask that you give us the courtesy. Also, we do have a statewide amateur radio network that's on the Louisiana Link system. It's a voice over IP system that networks right now. I believe we have about 10 repeaters on that system that we're able to use to coordinate between different regional offices for the Red Cross.
Bobby Best says even though the storms have moved out of the area, the effects have been far-reaching, and residents who have lost their homes homes need to be prepared for a long road ahead.
The rain has stopped. The floodwaters are receding at this point, but the damage is already done. This could be a situation that these shelters are going to be needed for an extended period of time because, again, the damage is already done, and you start getting into a situation where these floodwaters have been and are that you could have some health issues if people start deploying back into these regions, kind of similar to what some of the concerns were in New Orleans with Katrina after the floodwaters had receded, is that you could get into some health concerns. So my personal opinion would be that some of these shelters could have to be deployed long term.
Hams outside of Louisiana are being asked to not self-deploy. Those who would like to make their availability known should coordinate through the Louisiana Ares headquarters by contacting Steve Irvin, WA5FKF, at area code 225-933-4993. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, reporting from Topeka, Kansas.
Amateur Radio Newsline will continue to follow the radio response to this crisis. Having trouble hearing that other station? Sometimes it's the signal, but sometimes it's also the noise. The FCC, at long last, is moving ahead with a look at noise, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Damron, N8TMW.
When it comes to managing the electromagnetic spectrum, the FCC is hoping to hear the right kind of noise, and plenty of it. The FCC's Technological Advisory Council plans a comprehensive study of the noise floor, and until earlier this month had been receiving input on how to conduct the study and what to look for along the way. Hams and other interested parties were invited to comment on where the problem exists, what devices make it worse, what bands are most affected, and how natural propagation effects can be accounted for when undertaking such a study. The agency was also looking for suggestions on the study's methodology and ways to take meaningful measurements. When the study was announced earlier this year, the ARRL responded to the news by calling it encouraging, adding that the league hopes the findings will provide guidelines for decisions on band allocations, enforcement, and other spectrum management matters. The amateur radio community has been anticipating such a study since the FCC first requested one in 1999. The comment period closed August 11th, and the amateur community now awaits the agency's next move. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Damron, N8TMW.
The global radio community just welcomed two relative newcomers. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The European Radio Amateurs Organization has added two organizations to its roster that are also fairly new to the world of amateur radio. They are the Ukrainian Amateur Radio League and the Romanian Radio Club, known as Clubul Sportiv Cafe Gratis. The Romanian club was founded in 2015, and the Ukrainian group was created just this year as an effort by 13 regional clubs. According to the URAO, that's E-U-R-A-O website, about 1,500 members belong to this radio league in the Ukraine. The European organisation itself comprises independent radio amateurs associations globally for collaboration on projects, sharing activities and, when necessary, lobbying public officials on common interests. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W5AW, the Big Springs Amateur Radio Club repeater in Big Springs, Texas, on Thursdays at 8 p.m. It's been a long time since Radio Caroline's offshore broadcasts were heard in the U.K., but special event station GB5RC recently brought back the memory, if not the actual sound. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In the radio operator's own words, it wasn't the Radio Caroline of old, but hams devoted to the spirit of offshore broadcasting in the UK still had an authentic thrill participating in the GB5RC special event on Friday the 5th of August through Monday the 8th of August. Amateur radio organisers reported that about 2,500 QSOs with 80 countries all successfully breaking through what were at times some massive waves of calls. The ship was a busy place, as described by Keith, G6NHU, writing on the Martello Tower Group's website. He wrote, quote, "We heard many tales of how people used to listen to Radio Caroline back in the 60s and 70s, and we also spoke to a lot of people who had worked on the Ross Revenge, both in her offshore radio days and also in her days as a trawler, the Fryer," end quote. Keith added, quote, "It was a great feeling for all of us to know that for the first time in many years, a lot of RF was being transmitted from the ship." According to the blog, amateur radio stations have worked on the board the Ross Revenge before, but not on this scale. Indeed, Keith proclaimed the event historic. There was no 1960s rock and roll played, of course, but the station itself became the biggest hit of the weekend. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
At a recent celebration in Australia marking National Science Week, amateur radio, not surprisingly, took center stage. Here's more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
What's the bright idea? Well, in Tasmania, VK7, organisers like to think it's the Festival of Bright Ideas, part of Australia's National Science Week. Not surprisingly, amateur radio played a big role in this celebration of all things scientific, and the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania, REAST, enjoyed particularly active traffic at its stand at the festival, with student groups stopping by throughout the day, Friday, August 14. According to Justin, VK7TW, writing on the group's Facebook page, the youngsters took a crack at Morse code decoders, tried out an SDR receiver, had hands-on experience with microwave transceivers, and got some information on school amateur radio clubs that they could take back to their classrooms. Last year, the first such festival attracted more than 5,000 visitors in search of creativity and a little bit of science magic on subjects ranging from space exploration to chemistry. The event serves as a showcase for the nation's science sector in general and the spirit of innovation that drives it, even beyond the brightest of ideas, amateur radio. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
There's nothing like a full day's immersion in amateur radio to help create the next generation of hams. Students in India recently got to sample the full range of the amateur experience. We hear again from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Some 250 engineering students in the Indian state of Gujarat ended the month of July with a practical lesson in radio science like no other. It was a one-day session at the prestigious Mawadi Education Foundation, Rajkot, conducted by Rajesh Vagadia, VU2EXP, a regional coordinator in the West India zone for AMSAT India and a life member of the Radio Society of India. Beyond the day's introductory sessions, the students got a full day's experience, which also included a look at SATCOM, live demonstrations of SSTV and Morse code, SDR, and various events that round out the varied ham radio experience, this on July 30. Rajesh's wife Kiran, a short wave listener, assisted him, as did several other amateurs, including Shalyesh Nadiapara, VU3HNT. A member of a noted ham radio family in Gujarat, Rajesh is a radio educator and lifelong ham who put his best efforts that day into helping inspire a few more. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4, Baker Baker.
In the world of DX, it's worth noting that the website for the planned Bouvet 3Y0Z de-expedition has gone live. Even though the activation in this second-most-wanted DXCC entity won't set out until early 2018, you can learn more about the team members and their detailed plans for 3 weeks on what they are calling, quote, "the most remote island on Earth," end quote. The island was last activated as 3Y0 Echo during the winter of 2007 to 2008. Visit www.bouvetdx.org. In Brazil, special event station ZY157CAT will be on the air until the end of August to celebrate the founding of the city of Quitalo 157 years ago. Listen for the station on the HF bands using CW, single sideband, and various digital modes. Send QSLs directly to PP2BO. The CY9C St. Paul Island de-expedition is underway as of August 19th and will continue through August 29th. Log data will be posted live using Club Log and OQRS. They will be watching the HF bands using CW, single sideband, and RIDI, and will also work 6 meters, 2 meter EME, and satellite. Send QSR cards directly to WA4DAN. For more details, visit their website at www.cy9dexpedition.com. And finally, in closing, we ask all of our listeners, do you have a couple of stamps lying around from collecting all those QSL cards? Well, a radio club in the Philadelphia area can put them to good use. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has the story.
The Holmesburg Amateur Radio Club is ramping up a drive to get hams across the country and around the world to contribute to the Stamps for the Wounded program, supported by the Lions International Stamp Club. Bob Josiewicz, WA3PZO, president of the Holmesburg Club, says it's easy.
Canceled stamps are collected and then distributed to local VA hospitals and other convalescent facilities where our wounded warriors can receive occupational therapy using the stamps either to put into albums or to make decorative items. That's a good way of passing their time.
Joshua White says somebody brought the program to the attention of the Holmesburg Club a couple of years ago.
Each year, the club participates in several special events. The most notable one is the 13 Colonies special event, which is held over the 4th of July. We get literally thousands of QSL cards coming in to the club, and we were looking for what can we do with all these envelopes that we're essentially throwing out. And we learned about the Stamps for the Wounded program, and that we've now been collecting the stamps from those cards and collecting them and then shipping them down to the program, which is actually located in Virginia.
Oswald says if you'd like to help out, send an email to WM3PEN@ARRL.net, and someone from the club will respond with where to send the stamps. And if you're thinking maybe this is a project your club might want to undertake, Joshua White says, get in touch.
Send it to us, or if they want to start their own program. There are many special event stations around the country or QSL managers. Just to drop us an email, and we'll tell them where the actual address is, and they can start their own little program.
Again, that email address is WM3PEN@ARRL.net. That's Whiskey Mexico 3 Papa Echo November at ARRL.net. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Philadelphia.
With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT India, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, DX Coffee, European Radio Amateurs Association, the Holmesburg Amateur Radio Club, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Martello Tower Group, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO, in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.